I also got a family response. My mom called me and let me know that the podcast is boring and she stopped listening.
Thanks, Mom. Yeah, well, last one was a special case.
Yeah. Yeah, this week we go back to our usual buffoonery.
Are we starting?
We are. Why not?
Well, when did we start?
Let's stop.
Oh my God, stop.
Stop.
Okay.
Start again.
Start.
All right, let's introduce ourselves.
No, we're not going to introduce ourselves every freaking time.
We got new time customers.
What do you mean? There's a reason shows start with a little opener.
Let's just screw 80 years of showmanship here and be like, no, we don't introduce. But I'm going to start. Hi, I'm Matthew Arnold.
I'm Freddie Wong.
And I'm Logan, and Brandon is gone today.
There's a guy named David here.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm on this couch, but I'm here.
He's David, not mic'd. He'll just hear him in the background sometimes.
He'll be the sort of voice in the background. Once again, the Face Rocker podcast. We are one short because I think Brandon's with his lady who is directing a production of the Vagina Monologues. But
there can't possibly be a less manly reason to not be here.
Well, yeah, be going to Vagina Monologues alone.
Yeah. And then from being brought there by your lady. So
we return to our usual buffoonery this week. And what do we got on the table here?
Well, I guess we'll just start with going back to the original format. We'll talk about some game we played this week.
Okay, go for it.
So me and Logan both played Stacking.
Did you play Stacking?
No,
Freddie
didn't.
Is it called Stacking, or is it stacked, or is it like the stackers?
It's stacking.
Okay. It's so hard when it's a word that has so many suffixes.
It's called stacked.
When you come up with such a generic name for your game.
Yeah, called Stacking.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know what it is, it's a game by, not David Fincher, whose name, man?
Tim Schafer,
who made my favorite game of all time, Full Throttle. Or so it's
many great games, Psychonauts.
Yeah.
Even Brutal Legend was pretty good.
Disagree. Anyway, so he made this game about Petroshka dolls, which are those dolls that you put within one another.
Yeah.
And you actually, put different Petroshka dolls into one another to gain Kirby-like abilities to solve puzzles. Is that more or less it?
More or less it. And each person you take has one ability. And most of them range from completely useless, like you can
farting,
throwing. Well, that was actually useful.
Yeah,
throwing up cookies, using like a ping pong paddle to hit yourself. Like they're just weird. And then you have to find the guys who have the special abilities to freaking solve puzzles.
So, how did you feel about it, Matt?
I enjoyed it thoroughly. Logan, how do you feel about it?
Here's my beef with Stacking.
Yeah.
Here's my beef with
I knew you had beefs because I think when you sent the subject, when you sent like what we're going to talk about, you're like Stacking and talking about bullshit cameras and something. It wasn't like, let's discuss Stacking. It was like, let's discuss how shitty this is.
How shitty third
person.
No,
I just want you to talk about it first, and I'll go more into it because there's some things I really like about I mean, there's problems with it, but there's something I really like about it. But go on.
Okay, so here's my beef with adventure games. So I'm playing in tandem Monkey Island 2, which is like an old adventure game from
the
early
iPad?
90s, right? And what, pardon me?
On the iPad?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Which is amazing because that game used to take like my computer tower and had like feed it discs and like tell it what sound blaster card I was using.
That was so great. What happened to those days when you could had to define your sound card?
Where they actually like, I'm going to play a TIE fighter sound and you tell me if it's going left to right or right to left to tell what sound blaster 16-bit card you're using. Whereas now I'm like at Starbucks and I download all of Monkey Island and play it on my flat. Smaller than a storybook.
While sipping a cappuccino.
While sipping a cappuccino. And the graphics are also 5 times better. No, 50 times better than they used to be. And just so they let you know, they're like, by the way, the graphics are way better. Because you can actually swipe from left to right and reveal the old shitty graphics. And it's kind of like seeing a hooker in daylight. You're just like, ah! And you like, quick swipe it back. You're like, oh my God. So
your beef with adventure games.
My beef with adventure games is... All games kind of break down into choices and execution of those choices, mm-hmm. right? And the challenge is going to rest predominantly in one of those categories. Mm-hmm. So Mario, you know what you're supposed to fucking do. You go from left to right. Shit. So the hard part is the execution.
Well, like, there's ways to break down. Either the difficulty is in what choice you make or the difficulty is in how choosing it. So yeah, Mario, it's not hard to know what you do. It's
you just got fucking
how
do
you perform it.
And it's, that requires a certain level of dexterity and experience, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Monkey Island is purely a puzzle game of choices. It's like, I'm supposed to grab this shovel and use it with this grave to dig up the grave, right? The problem is... there is a lengthy execution process where you have to walk over to something and then grab the item and then use it. And mm-hmm. it's like, none of those execution steps are fun. They just take up time.
And not only that.
And if you go wrong, if they're wrong.
Exactly. It's a lot of time wasted.
It's a lot of time wasted.
It becomes anxious. You're just like, shit.
And so I realized that that was cool in 1993, you know, before the microwaves and shit.
Yeah.
But now that everything's all faster paced with the internet and cars, like, it's really difficult to...
That's the two things that's changed, by the way, internet and cars.
So I'm curious where you're going, because that's actually the thing I really liked about... For me, second game, stacking's like the only game that's kind of brought the point-and-click adventure to a somewhat modern
It was killing me, though, because my Troisker doll was like, hop and hop and hop, and I was like, fuck already. Like, let's get to it.
Let's get in the Petrushkas.
David, I don't think you're going to be heard. Wait, also, Shibino, we're like, hey, there's this random guy, David, on our couch. It was like the two girls in the closet last week.
It should be known
that David actually has a history with Freddie. Before Freddie was a YouTube star, they actually did a contest together where they went slalom skiing for Samsung or something.
Yeah, he's on some of him, a bunch of the videos.
David,
are on
real quick,
there.
Introduce yourself here.
My name's David Welch. I went to the Vancouver Olympics with Mr. Wong here. We also
all of us went to USC.
It's a boring, medium.
By the way, it's worth noting that Monkey Island 2 was also Tim Schafer.
Yeah. So I want to get to this really quick. I don't know why it's that slow. He moved over.
Okay,
you walk quickly. The thing I liked is that every puzzle. So here's the problem with those adventure games for me is that you're right. It takes a long time because there's one fucking thing to get. It's like, okay, how do you open this door? And you pray to God that key that you need is like within 10 minutes walking distance. With stacking, what they do is every puzzle has like three solutions. And usually one of them is like right there. So like the first one is to get these people outside of this like hotel. And the easiest way to do it is you just grab a dude who farts and you fart into the vent and it stinks up the joint and they leave. And like anybody can figure that out right away. However, you still want to do like that hardcore puzzle solving. They have like various versions of solutions and they kind of reward you to try to figure out what those are. And some of those get a lot more complex and then do take a lot of time. But I like that they have like fast ways of doing things.
I mean, there's the fast solving portion. Okay, so here's the issue with
you didn't
games.
Like moving.
No. Well, here's the issue with it. So an adventure game is largely environmentally based, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you got to look around your environment and do something. And this is when the camera thing. So the notes for the podcast today, because we have notes. This is actually slightly
unbelievably.
Wait. I want to clarify really
you
quickly.
See the surprise guest that's going to barge in.
Yeah.
At minute 45.
I want to clarify really
Don't
quickly.
Skip
people,
ahead. Don't skip ahead.
I don't want people to think we're that. Like by notes, he means 40 minutes before. He'll send an email with like someone talking about bears, shark attacks, and this. And I'll send back, be like, that's cool. I was also thinking about bears, and maybe we'll talk about stacking. Okay. That's it. That's like 30 minutes beforehand.
So I wanted to talk about the camera because I do not, it's a standard crappy behind the head camera like you'd see in a standard third person action game, right? Correct, Matt?
I want to see what you're going to say. Yes, but there's like, go on.
So the problem with that view, at least how they did it, was it filled a view small enough that the majority of the picture is just your Petrushka doll.
Yeah.
And, like, on top of that, they've tried to make it more silent, like, silent movie themed by giving it a vignette around the screen, which means basically a frame. Yeah. So, like, you actually have a very small picture, even on a large television, that's just filled with your character hopping around. You're like, well, shoot, I can't see anything. And so you're, like, wildly swinging the camera around. Like, you can't really tell what's going on in the environment. We would have been way better served by just having a fixed camera.
Well, here's the thing. So the more I was listening to you, the more I realized that, wait a second, that's right. Logan probably played the first 5 minutes of this game. No, because it's true. The more I think about it, it's true. The more I think about this, because I played stacking twice. So the first time I played it, I got through about the first like 30 minutes and I was like, Logan's not going to finish this because it starts off very slow. And it does. Because you start off in the train yard. I will say that the world's become a lot more interesting. And I don't know if the camera zoomed out, but like there is a lot more shit to do that pretty much any moment you'd go, you're like now like riding bicycles and you're like shooting cannons. Like they fill up. It's a lot more interesting as it goes on from my experience, but I only played like another hour.
Well, here's what I'm going to do, Matt.
You're going to play? There's no way you're going to keep playing.
I'm going to play. I'm going to play.
Whoa,
for you.
Slow down.
Whoa.
And when I say I'm going to play a game and beat it, I do. It took me 3 weeks of pain to beat Final Fantasy VII.
All right, you're going
to
beat stacking.
As is mentioned in the first episode of our podcast ever, and I did it. It took me 8 years to beat Half-Life, but I did it.
If nothing else, you got to give stacking credit. We actually, some of my roommates and his girlfriend were watching me, and they were just weirded out by the game. They liked it, but I mean, it is really bizarre when you think about that. You're a dude who like absorbs other people's bodies, essentially, and that's how you solve puzzles. But it's also a game set to look like a silent film using Russian dolls. And it's actually about like a depression era where your family is like essentially kidnapped by hard labor workers.
It's like Dickensian.
You have to save them. Yeah, I mean, it's like, that's why I think I tweeted recently. I was like, that's far more interesting than any like movie to come out. Like, it's so out there. Like, I can't even believe a game like this is made in this day and age.
What makes the aesthetic particularly unsettling about the fact that you're like absorbing these people to use their abilities is the fact that you have to do it from behind them, which implicitly makes it some kind of violation.
Yeah, it's like, it's a rape.
It should be known that our friend David is obsessed with violating people. It's like this thing he's into.
I have no idea where that came from.
Obsessed. Oh, you came onto the podcast. He got a wrist that would just slander you. Left and right.
His name's David Welch. If you're ever hiring him.
David, stop punching my cat.
Is that that's not all he's doing?
That's all he's doing.
Anyways, that's stacking in
that's
a nutshell.
Stacking, that's enough.
Let's move on to something juicy with animals, maybe. What do we got with animals?
Okay, juicy with animals. I mean, you put in shark attacks and bears.
Wait,
actually, you said shark attacks, then you sent a follow-up email. It's like, oh, also I want to talk about bears.
Okay, well, they're related. Let's talk about shark attacks.
Yeah. Okay.
Shark attacks.
Sharks, the bears of the sea.
Should we be concerned?
No.
Do you swim?
Yeah, absolutely.
Then yes.
Should we be concerned? Do you swim? No, not at all.
Then no.
Oh, okay, no.
But it should be known, like, so less people are attacked by sharks than hit by lightning. But I'd much rather run around a lightning storm than swim in shark-infested waters.
I feel like, of course, because I feel like there's probably more people in a lightning storm than probably swim in ocean. So there's lightning storms everywhere.
There's a sense of fatalism, though. Like, you could be anywhere. Anywhere and get struck by lightning. Well, you'd probably have to be in a thunderstorm, admittedly, but like with sharks, I think that's the prospect of getting consumed by this vicious animal is
being consumed
so terrifying.
Feels but awful.
It should also be known that sharks are like, they totally fucking love humans. Like, they don't even fuck with them. Dolphins kill more people than humans.
No, it's true. Dolphins are insane. People give dolphins shit. And they're smart.
It's kind of like
smart killers.
Well, and they pretend to be your friends and they lure you out like to your by
and
yourself.
And they don't even eat you. They beat you to death.
Yeah, that's so amazing. It's not even functional. It's like, listen, dude, I'm hungry. It's like, no.
Yeah.
They just want to toy
with
you.
It's like that. It would be like the cute girl like bring you back in the alleyway and you think you're getting made out with, and then they just beat you to death is what a dolphin is. It's like, oh, this is adorable. Let's go swimming with the dolphins, and then you die.
One of the most incredibly I guess girly experiences in my life was when I took a sailing class and we sailed to Catalina, and halfway through, because we didn't have a motor, we were going by the power of our sails and the boat cutting through the water. We got surrounded by a whole pod of dolphins.
Okay, that's not girly. So even as we're talking about this,
that's majestic.
Yeah, even as we're talking about this, I have to remember that when I was at Catalina, I also was on a boat and we got like the largest pod of dolphins I ever seen. I was like. Endorphins running, wanting to like stand up on top of the boat and scream, and I was just in this magic moment.
I reached over.
Majestic.
I reached over, but then you petted the dolphin.
Yeah,
did you actually pet him?
Yeah.
And what did the dolphin say back?
It said,
"Okay."
It looked back at me and then what the fuck?
Your eyes locked, and you knew at that moment that Did you guys hear the they communicated with dolphins for the first time?
Yeah, I saw that. They created half human, half dolphin language.
Yes.
That's all I read. I saw the headline. I figured that was enough.
And it's just nouns. It's like this dolphin noise means like basketball, and this dolphin noise means like seal. But like the question is like, can we get to the point where we're talking about abstract concepts with them?
Well, then your fear would be is that they can't be sarcastic.
Well, yes, absolutely.
That would be terrifying.
This all came because whenever I see animals, I like to always tell them that I saw a much cuter animal earlier.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a second. Do they know I'm joking?
No, I think they'll just hurt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we gotten dolphin sarcasm yet?
I really do think if anybody's going to understand sarcasm, it's me, dolphins. Like,
why?
They are playful and very intelligent.
Why would they understand sarcasm?
Because they have so much fun all the time. Like, they're the party
sarcasm
of the sea. Yeah, they're like the Spuds McKenzie of the oceans. Just having a great time all the time. There's a reason they all party together all the time. They're not loners.
So, Logan, when you wanted to talk about shark attacks, what did you actually want to talk about? Did you just want to know if you should be scared of them?
Well, I just think it's so interesting that nobody ever gets... I certainly don't know anybody who's been eaten by a shark.
Yeah, well,
but
not many people do.
Every time I get in the ocean, all I can think is, oh my God.
How many people have you known who got killed being in their bedroom at night, dark... You know, it's like, why are you scared of the dark? It's just the unknown. It's the possibility it could happen.
And that's what I'm thinking. It's because you can't see underneath the water very easily.
You wouldn't be afraid of, is that where you get with bears? Bears you can see.
You don't get scared of bears in the forest because you're like, fuck, dude, I'll see the bear and I'll get out there. Even though bears probably kill way more people than sharks. Because bears are fucking stone cold killers.
Yeah, bears want to kill you.
Run how fast they can run?
35.
Really fast.
Yeah. 35 miles an hour. I once bet a person that could run faster than a bear.
Yeah,
I should have checked
Wikipedia.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't like test that. Like,
well, you know, it's funny because we had a bear trainer for Bear, and we were talking to him about grizzly bear stories. The movie that I produced.
Does everybody here know that?
Maybe. Okay, well, there's a movie I produced. It's called Bear. It's about a bear. It's about killer bear.
Oh, really quickly, the zipline thing. We did get a comment laughing because remember you said zipline. Like, oh, for those who don't know, a zipline. And I gave you shit for that and you got mad at me. There's a few comments that were like laughing at you trying to explain zip lines to people who may not know what zip lines
are. Do you know about zip line? We're silent. You have to remember that.
That's true. The silent majority.
Silently.
But Logan should just constantly disqualify anything said.
Yeah. I just think it's important that people know.
Okay, so,
like,
yeah.
So one of the bear sources says that, you know, like you play dead. And you hope that it just basically gets bored of you and stops toying with you. But he says there's cases where he's heard of cases where somebody's played dead and the bear's mauled them and it's just like, I'm bored, and it's left. And the guy lies there for like 15, 20 minutes, like, okay, I did it. I survived a bear attack, and gets up. But no, the bear didn't leave. It was waiting to see if it was.
So
one step ahead.
So the guy got mauled twice, like, because the bear was waiting in the bushes, be like, is this guy messing
so really
with
quickly
me?
Yes. Freddy,
and the thing is, it's like it's not like that, like, the bear accomplished anything. Yeah. It's literally the bear was there just to fuck him up.
No, imagine,
like,
this, imagine
bears,
this,
you get, jumping dudes,
imagine, and there's nothing else, right? To do. They're,
you
just
get
like
up, it's like, oh, I mean, I survived a bear attack. Oh no, it comes again.
So do you guys think I could take a bear?
No.
With my bare hands?
No.
I don't know. I got a pretty mean hook.
During the shooting of this movie, we got, you know, like, within, like, as close as I am to Matt with the
That
with
makes
the
no
bear.
Sense. When
I'm actually
no
60 feet away.
Yeah, he's pretty great now. Matt's actually, yeah. No, like touching distance. Like, okay. With a bear, and it's the freakiest thing, because you're not used to seeing that much mass moving organically.
Really quickly, Freddie, actually, for those who may not understand, what is mass?
Mass. Oh, well, I just figured
that we now have scientists listening, so yeah, no. They may not understand what he meant by mass of a bear. Anyway. He meant weight or size.
To go back for a second on the difference between a shark attack and a bear attack, I think the other key difference is the illusion of control, because at least in a bear attack,
true,
you
yeah.
think, oh, I could just run away, or I could, like,
climb a tree.
Well, you're in your environment, you're
something.
Walking.
You're in an environment that's familiar. I think it's a similar fear of, like, people driving versus flying, where people driving, they think, oh, it's fine, you know,
it's,
I'm
even
in control.
Even though it's far more dangerous.
Even yeah. though it's far more dangerous.
That's how I am. I feel like I could get out of any... I don't care if, like, a semi-truck is flipping over a bridge right at me. I feel
well,
like...
To be fair,
I play video games. I play F-Zero GX. I fucking mastered that.
By the way, this is...
So I could get around
this is coming
there.
From Matt, by the way, an LA native who still has no idea which direction Pasadena is from where
but
we are.
That is
he'll
different.
Go out to our intersection and be like, and he'll turn right back. Matt, are you sure you wanted to turn this way? You didn't want to get on the freeway? It's like, wait, is this not the way the freeway is? Matt, you've only been living here for a year.
There's a difference between knowing where you're going and getting there with style.
That's true.
And being a pro driver. This is different. I may not know where I'm going.
I'm getting there 25 minutes late.
Late. No, I go fast.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether you know a map.
It's about the journey.
You're a high performance driver. That's,
it's not about the journey. It's not a destination.
I think it's due with lightning strikes. I think it's more because, again, you can get caught in them. It's not like you were swimming at your local swimming pool and all of a sudden it's like, oh my god, there's a shark in here. You know?
Oh no.
Oh no.
Anyway, so that's sharks. Moving on. Moving on. Next topic.
Yeah. I don't know. We can talk
around. Lightning round.
These transitions.
These transitions
are
great.
The lightning round week.
We're gonna enter the lightning round.
All right. So real dolls versus dildos.
Oh, wow.
You just I went straight for it. So
just went there.
Freddie, how about we edit that out and come up with a much better segue?
No way. So speaking of shark attacks, Matt, what's next on the topic? Dolls versus dildos.
Let's talk. Let's
explain
first
what you mean by real dolls,
Logan.
So
a real doll is an anatomically correct. A full-sized
sex toy
woman.
Yeah.
Not sex toy, because it's not just for sex.
It's not just for it's relationship, right. Social interaction.
Thank you for the subtle differentiation.
No, it's for...
Well,
like,
it's a big, kind of big deal. So the reason that I even thought about this is... So there's
it's been
a movie called,
pretty lonely these last couple months.
Yeah, I've been looking. I've been hunting for my real doll.
How much are they?
Oh,
like
$4,000
bucks.
I'm sure they're like as much
right?
as a motorcycle or something.
No, they're like $5,000.
So, like, a good motorcycle.
That's a good motorcycle.
A good one on Craigslist, at least.
A good Craigslist motorcycle.
If any of you guys have a motorcycle you want to donate to Freddie Wong, who will give it to me, you know how to get to him. So, anyways, there's a movie out there called Lars and the Real Girl.
Yeah.
Is that the name of the... Yep. And that's a fictional movie.
Yep.
But he actually made a documentary where he bought a real doll, I guess. And entered the real doll community because it's like a weird subculture where these dudes like have their collection of real dolls that they treat like humans, and they like take them to dinner and like walk.
There was an episode of X-Files about that, and the dude was a serial killer.
Which is like all of our assumption about the sort of person
yeah,
who would get a real doll, right? And so, of course, it sounds really creepy because it's you bought a mannequin who's your wife and you
I'm sure there's got to be a Law and Order SVU.
There is.
I'm sure of it. And,
well, and they use like a special silicone stuff, so it's like the skin is more realistic.
Yeah,
and all
it's
a fleshlight.
It blows my mind the amount of technology that goes into it.
Wait, and by the way, they all look really ugly.
Oh, well, they look like burn victims. Like,
yeah,
they all look awful. And so this documentary is about this guy who made that fictional film.
Yeah.
Buying a real doll and getting it in the community. And at the end of it, he's like, you know what? I actually want to keep it. And like he actually makes an analogy. He's like, these aren't just for sex. That's like comparing a moped to a Harley Davidson.
What's the moped? What does he consider the moped?
Like a fleshlight toy.
Yeah,
as opposed to the Harley Davidson, which is like it's not just for traveling. It's a cultural.
It represents a way of life.
It's a way of life.
So in your email, all you wrote was real dolls versus dildos, and what your lady could have.
Yeah,
so
they have male real dolls.
I'm sure they do.
Well, in the future, let's. Yeah. I got a little
bit of questions.
You are the futurist,
topic.
After all.
Yeah, I am. I am going to get into futurism.
No, you are a futurist.
I am a futurist.
You just say it's a secret. You just put it out there.
I would assume
true.
That the male real dolls are for homosexual men. I can't imagine women are.
Hey, let's.
Hey, listen. Hey,
assumptions make an ass out of you.
Okay.
So.
I feel like gay dudes probably are okay. I feel like they can do a good job of, you know, hanging out with each other.
Is that going to be like our
No, this isn't offensive at all. Not at all. I think gay dudes
are we going to offend gay people this week?
No. I think they like find each other pretty. I've like never seen maybe this will be offensive. I've like never seen a lonely gay dude. They always are hanging out with each other.
I didn't mean that.
I see lonely women though. Like, yeah.
I meant it to be, I think, the real doll phenomenon.
Sometimes those gay dudes seem to have, like, the good life. They're all buddies. It's good. Anyway, so I don't think they're for gay guys. I think they're for women.
Wow. The comments just folded in flames.
You're just, like, basically talking yourself in a corner. We're going to edit that out.
Edit that out. Backdraft in the comments.
So anyways.
All the air just got sucked under the door.
So there's a bunch of questions here. First of all, do you think we'll live to see real dolls that are indistinguishable from humans?
No.
No.
Never.
No.
Do you think we'll see ones that talk back to us and move their limbs around like animatronic?
Yes.
See that? And this is one of those. This is one of
my
problems.
We're almost already
there. Let me put it this way. This is one of my problems with the movie Blade Runner. And I still like the movie, but there's so many like parts. If you take like 2 seconds to think about Blade Runner, it's like the dumbest shit. Like there's one where it's like, oh yeah, we made robots and they can sometimes go crazy, but for some reason we decide to make them literally indistinguishable from human beings, except for this very specific test that we have to administer to figure out if they're real or fake. Like, no, you would never do that. You would just like, why not just make all the replicants have like a tattoo that has, they have an R tattoo on their forehead.
Why not just give them giant lobster claws and paint them blue?
Or why not just
make them
tint their skin?
Why not just not make them human?
Just
how about that?
Anything. It's like there's no reason.
There's an online
like
essay
any of
about this,
like,
right?
AI or anything.
I think there's a bunch. There's a bunch
you
of essays.
Need, but there's specifically one that's like all the reasons Blade Runner's bullshit, and you need to track it down and link to it because you're actually drawing from it and you know it.
Whoa. You have the headphones on, so I hear every stupid thing that you do with the microphone.
I'm going to grab another beer. Let's just, you guys keep talking about real dolls.
I'm almost on this one, so go ahead and pop one open for me too.
All right, so. Well, they have female ones, and because I saw a Google video documentary.
Well, I think what Logan was getting at, well, I'm going to, because this was my more, like, this was the kind of moral question for me when Logan put this, is maybe he wasn't asking this, but what would you feel comfortable with your girlfriend or you know, special person, or
hey,
or
good
partner,
say, Matt's too little,
or
too
wife,
late.
Or wife, you know, a dildo versus like a real doll. And clearly, I think there's a differentiation between a real doll, because I feel like if you have a real doll, you're seeking for, you know, something
some
greater than just sex, some kind of companionship, which is definitely like your relationship. If your special person's getting a real doll, you're not satisfying them. So that's a problem.
Also,
dildo is like, okay, you're away for like,
by the way, Matt,
weeks.
The term isn't special person, significant other.
I was literally just saying special person.
Person's actually kind of kind of derogatory.
Like, man, I'm offending
everyone.
Somebody's like, wait, Matt's, is Matt talking about special people with dildos?
We're constantly questioning all our words at this point.
Yeah. We're so scared. Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
Wait. So I'd like to, if any of you are creationists, please let us know.
Oh, Jesus.
Logan, we've gone to the Creation Museum, one of the
Let's
most
hold on
amazing
until we
places.
Hear back from any of those creationists.
So we'll do a creationist and Scientology day when we just feel like...
We're going to really go to town.
We're really
much,
going to town.
How much we love or hate them based on what you are
yeah.
out there. You just tell us where you are.
I'll say that the Creation Museum, the astronomy show, or was,
you know, it's
the,
amazing was to amazing. See their justifications,
because like the show goes and it's like 10 minutes, like, and this star is, you know, 400 million light years away. And Logan and I are looking at you like, light years? Wait, 400 million light years? That, okay, how are they explaining this? And it's like the most throwaway line in there. And it's like, so it's like they address it, like,
yeah,
it may seem that by being 400 light years away, that the universe may be at least 400 million years old. But it's not. These phenomenon can be explained away with concepts like time dilation. And then they move on. And you're like, just, what?
It's just, you know, time dilation.
Of course.
I was actually a really big fan of the raptor eating the apple off of the tree, because all animals were vegetarians before the fall of Adam and Eve.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
My favorite one was the little diorama of the ark. And it's like, okay, two giraffes, two elephants, two brontosauruses, right?
How they explain like how animals can get to different continents by floating on driftwood for 40 days and 40 nights.
So clearly we're just outright offending creationists.
Sorry, guys.
Well, no, to be fair, I gotta disagree
with you.
No, to be fair, there's some things that are like issues. There are things that's just, you know, they're just wrong. So, I mean, you know, sometimes you just gotta lay it
out.
It's my dream that we get targeted by a militant fundamentalist organization.
It's specifically young earth creationists is the hilarious one. Yeah. And it's funny because the museum was first of all, they built it so that it was like, their statistic was insane. It was like within a day's drive of 80%.
Okay, it should be noted. This place is like right outside Louisville.
Yeah, you guys went on a road trip, right?
This was right outside Cincinnati, Ohio. And it was like in the middle of nowhere. And we're just to build a museum. Yeah. And then they justified it.
So you didn't know it was a creation, or you went there specifically because of
creation. The whole road trip was for that purpose, to visit this museum.
Yeah. Well, they say
it is a mecca of sorts.
Yeah. It kind of is.
In their brochure, they say it is within like a day's drive of like something where it digs like 75% of the U.S. population. Or so it's just like
actually,
nuts.
I believe it's 40.
Was it 40?
70%.
But they placed it in a very tactical place, and it was like ridiculous. It's just nuts.
Yeah. It's one of those things where at first you're like, this is stupid, and then you're like, wait a second, this is actually very well calculated.
Logan, you actually bought a shirt from that place.
Yeah, I wanted like a silly creationist shirt, like
which
one
they
that
didn't
said
have because it's the most serious.
They wouldn't
thing
have that,
but
there.
It was very serious, and they're aware of people like us visiting. And to give them credit, they definitely got our number. The moment we walked in, they definitely knew we were Californians there to make fun
of
their.
So you're essentially a troll. So how do they deal? This is a gaming issue in game design. How do you deal with trolls in a multiplayer
game?
It was
killing with kindness. They were just the nicest people ever.
You can't be mean to them if they're nice.
Yeah.
And which is probably because they're calculating.
And we never went in there being like, dude, we're going to tear this place up.
We went in there with a sort of like healthy, like this, let's just see what this is all about. But I would say most people were that. There were a lot of, you know, sort of religious people who were there, and there's a lot of Christians who were there. It was like, okay, let's just see what this is about, kind of open mind, let's just see what's going on. It wasn't like we were expecting more people to be like,
most people don't have the balls to actually be like, it's like when you're going to go to the modern art museum, you're like, oh, this is gonna be great, I'm gonna laugh at all the like the naked chick paintings when you're like 8th grade. Nobody has the balls to actually do it.
When that goes to the museum, he's there for the naked lady paintings.
It's 7th grade
and Matt can't wait to laugh at them.
Let me ask you guys something, when Matt goes to the museum
I guarantee you, I'm gonna get the in 7th grade, that's what you're laughing at.
There's the museum with
I guess not, maybe we'll find out.
Matt, let me ask you something, because you went to school here in California, right?
Yeah, I've been to,
in LA. There's like the Museum of Tolerance here, right? Does every kid
I
go
really
to
don't
it?
Good. I've already.
It should be noted.
I was really not trying to upset, like, but I've already. I guess I've already done my damage today, so I don't even want to talk about the Museum of Tolerance.
I've actually been to there twice.
But it was very interesting.
For school?
Okay,
two different schools.
Two different times.
I will say this. There was this. I guess they got rid of it though, because I swear anybody can tell me if this is not true. But I could swear when I went there the first few times for school, there was this like attractions. Wrong word for the Museum of Tolerance. By the way, the Museum of Tolerance is a museum dedicated to the Holocaust.
It's actually dedicated to genocide, but that's true. It's like funded by like I assume the Anti-Defamation League or whatever, which is a largely Jewish.
Yeah.
It's really all about the Holocaust. And then they have like a highlight reel for Darfur. It's like a 1 minute like highlight, like boom, bam, bam, like a lot of sizzle.
I'm getting Logan's doing the offensive parts, so that's good. So you went there recently, I'm assuming.
No, like middle school.
Oh, okay. So what's it? Okay. I guess there's a tunnel. There's a tunnel of like defamation, right? And when you walk through it, when you walk through it, they just threw insults at you. And the idea was to make you feel like what it's like to be insulted. Now, however, when you're like in fifth grade and you walk through a tunnel and you're hearing loser, fat ass, you're a dork. In a tunnel, and this is like right after you just saw like the gas chambers. There was no way you could stop all of us from laughing. Like it was the most.
It's incredibly corny because especially like
so that's true, right?
The thing is they're trying to keep it work safe, and like no insult that is work safe is truly insulting.
Yeah,
like Lardo.
Yeah,
you're such a dork. It's like no true. Like moron. To be insulted, you have to be like you fucking faggot. You suck dicks all the time.
Yeah,
like
piece of shit. Your mom fucks dudes when she's not taking care of you.
Dad,
she's probably an alcoholic too. And doesn't
like,
love you.
And it's like they're not gonna say things like that. And by the way, no offense to homosexual people. That's just a common insult when you're in middle school.
Oh, thank God you did. See, now you're the offensive one.
Anyways, but they can't do that. So you can get this really weak kneed like
it's like a '90s like after school special.
By the way, Freddie, could you go through and just add beeps over all the stuff I said in that tunnel?
And here's Logan was trying to show what would be offensive. Now here's the thing though, is that
and succeeding.
Also, as a kid, insults are hilarious. So, like, the fact that they would, like, show you the gas chambers and be like, okay, this is serious.
There's
and, like,
nothing funnier than gas chambers.
all of us are pretty, like, I was pretty, like, not traumatized. By the way,
just real quick, should be noted that David, what are your thoughts on this conversation?
David is Jewish,
by the way.
Yeah.
Tainted.
Not that this makes it in any way okay.
My presence here does not imply.
Okay.
I'm not like the token like Jewish friend.
All right, we should probably move away from losing tolerance.
Okay, so I actually have something to add to this. First of all, I think it's hilarious. So I went two times. The first time was in middle school, a predominantly Jewish middle school. In the framing of that time was, look at your ancestors and what happened to them. Okay. And then I went in Catholic school in high school, at which point it was, look at how terrible you were.
Yeah, that's what it was for us.
It went from like victim to raw guilt.
That's what Catholics are good at.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the guilt.
And so
survivor's guilt to guilt.
So, exactly. Yeah,
as long as the commonality.
Exactly. And then, okay, and my second comment about the Holocaust. It's not the Holocaust Memorial. That's in Washington, D.C., I believe.
Well, there's many, but...
Yeah, anyway. but the big one in America. So my favorite part of the museum is there's two doors. And it's like, if you think you have prejudices, go through this door. If you think you have no intolerance, go through this door. And then when you go up to the door for like no intolerance, it's locked. Because everybody has prejudices.
That's a lie. I would totally have gone through that door.
You've heard that like that internet story that went around about that, right?
No.
The kid was like, I just got back from school. We went to the Museum of Tolerance, and there was this door, and he explained the door. He's like, so I went to the one marked intolerant or no prejudice, and it wasn't open. And I was like, who made this? Some Jew? And it's like, and I had to sit out the rest of the day.
That sounds about right.
That sounds, yeah.
How did we even get off?
I don't know. So I had two topics that were...
Oh, real dolls.
Yeah, there you go.
Are you cool? Like... Are you cool if your wife like has a sex toy that does not resemble?
I'll answer that in both ways. Are you cool? No, you're clearly not cool if your wife is getting a real doll. Would you be cool with it? No, you shouldn't be cool.
No,
with
because
it.
It's like it's a human. But I think it's silly that it's totally inanimate. It's basically a plastic.
It's not but it's what it represents. They're seeking for something greater than just sex.
Matt, let me ask you this. Okay.
Okay.
Significant other.
Yeah.
Has a dildo.
Yeah.
Okay with that.
Yes.
What's her full name?
Okay, we're definitely not even going. I'm talking about hypothetically.
I'm bringing my girlfriend. So I'm getting the scale close here. Okay. The dildo, she names it. Okay, not okay.
Okay, so then it starts getting weird.
Okay, it's getting weird.
We probably have a talk.
Now it has a little tiny face.
That's really weird.
Describing evolution at this point.
No, that's not. I don't think that's how real. Okay,
it's like
this
is not how real dolls evolve. Out of the ocean
it
and then
real
like
dolls
gets legs.
It has gills. Now it's a persimmon. Now it's
real dolls are like first. Let's make a dildo. I want to put a face on a dildo.
Directly. It is now a biped. Is it okay?
Because there's a face, there should be a body on this dildo, and then we'll put a face on. That's not how it works. But no, that would. It's exactly the point. It's the idea is that if they're seeking for actual like human connection from this thing, then clearly. You're not giving it to them.
But as long as it's an abstract phallus, it's okay.
I think so.
What if it was modeled off of someone else's dong and it wasn't
Every dildo is modeled off of someone else's.
No, this is because of who it was.
Oh, like she was like
Hasselhoff.
This
dong.
Dude. Oh, okay. Well, if it's somebody, I thought she bought one like modeled off of Logan's dong. That'd be a problem.
Ooh, yeah,
she,
what
like,
about
specifically
that?
Knows. And first off, I'd be like, why the downgrade?
That's a pretty good insult.
Good.
Thank you.
Nice.
I feel bad because Logan could beat me up probably.
I mean.
Well, you do speak Elven.
I assume you meant because you like just be split.
No, but that's not okay then.
I assume that's why it's a downgrade.
What's the matter? So that's not okay then.
You're not okay.
I don't know.
So if
I actually have never thought about this. So.
Have you guys ever seen those kits you can get? It looks like a Pringles can and it's just filled with like plaster.
No.
You just dip. You just dip.
Like, wait. Oh, so it's like custom made, yeah, like
and then
vagina.
You can fill it with wax so you can make like a wiener candle, or you can fill it with chocolate to make wiener chocolates.
And it's off of your member.
Yeah, yeah. Or you,
that's kind of cool.
It's fun. I just want.
Wait, have you done this? The question is, who feels comfortable sticking it in? Like,
I'm totally fine.
I would totally make a penis
Pringles
chocolate.
Can.
I don't know who I'd give it to.
The question is the chocolate one.
Would it be? Here's a question.
Because there's that whole like that chocolate touched this thing that touched your wiener.
It's two steps removed from wiener.
Most things after like seven, like yeah. Eventually, it's touched
anything I touch is two step removed from my wiener.
Your hands touch your
wiener
all the time.
Exactly. Logan, do you think it'd be
all the time?
Would you feel right hand? Comfortable eating a chocolate made at, like a chocolate mold of your own penis? What do you think that was?
Of mine?
Yeah, would that be like?
Yeah, I'd be fine.
That's good.
Okay.
Now, the moment it becomes somebody else, I wouldn't be.
You would be.
If you came in with like this cock cake, and you're like, hey, look, it's my birthday. Let's eat my cock cake.
It's my birthday and my cock.
Okay, if I give you like a chocolate wiener, and I was like, here you go, Logan, here's a chocolate wiener. It's a joke for your birthday. Eat it. It's really good. It's like Belgium chocolate. It cost me like 50 bucks.
It's like chocolate.
And you started eating it because you didn't think it was my dick. And then I was like, actually, that was molded from my dick. Would you be upset? Or would you just keep going for it? Because you already...
Now, hold on. And
I'd probably spit out whatever's in my mouth.
and wash out the
stomach,
rest.
Good job. You got a little bit in me. Congratulations.
Well, now, hold on this. What if it wasn't at any point, you know, off a mold that made contact, but it was like a laser scan
in
it?
Yeah, laser scan.
It's totally fine then.
So it's
Unless my tongue fills a vein. The moment my tongue fills one of the veins, it gets weird.
It's personal. You know me.
Yeah, yeah.
Better than you wanted to.
I know your pulse now.
I know
the throbbing. That's the moment.
When you make that mold, do you have to be completely rigid?
God.
I can only assume so.
Yeah.
But I assume it shakes or something to keep you.
To keep you there.
To keep it going.
Yeah. And then you have to like get unhard to get out of there.
Okay, this is bad.
Well,
all right,
no,
let's move on.
This is some people have probably done this that are listening. I'm curious.
I really wish you edited this more.
No way.
Should be noted. Oh, anyways, so I guess the take home is abstract phalluses are okay for a lady. And anything more is not okay.
It's not that. I don't think that's
it more than just.
Exactly. It's the moment. Yeah. It's just the moment they're seeking
the
out.
It's another person.
What's the difference between, I'm assuming, like the average guy watching porn and the average guy who's like writing
off to pictures of their friends?
Yeah. Or like sending letters to the porn stars asking for a response, like saying, do you love me? Like that's like an issue.
I mean, we've all been there.
We've all been there. Yeah. Right.
We've all been there.
Yeah, listen.
And David's nodding too. So everybody knows we've all been there.
And meanwhile, Plato's licking himself. Plato's man's cat.
Table.
So moving on.
On the subject of editing these, I actually happened to watch the director's commentary to The Social Network, and very, very briefly.
Speaking of editing, let me give you some content to edit out.
No. Very briefly, there's a section where David Fincher just is talking about some, you know, story point to do with Mark Zuckerberg, and he's just like, and you know, I believe that we've validated his character in this way, and if you have a problem with that, take it to Aaron Sorkin. His email address is, and he like rapid fires it off, but it just gets bleeped immediately, and you're just like, somebody at Sony went over this with
Brian.
There's a way to edit this so it's funny.
I think it's funny when you just insulted David's ability to bring up any sort of.
So let's talk about. I don't know if this is. No, we've never talked about piracy. I'm actually curious. I've never talked to Logan about piracy before. And the Hurt Locker thing.
Pirates are interesting.
The Hurt Locker thing came back
up.
Because
they drank a lot, but they could sell ships very accurately.
But would they beat ninjas? That's not the piracy I'm talking about. Clearly, Logan. So the Hurt Locker.
Logan's point is they drank a lot, but they could sail really well.
That's why they were goofy. So the Hurt Locker thing came back up. Like, you thought, I forget the name of the law firm
But out of nowhere, everybody thought they were gone because they were pretty much doing things completely illegally.
You need to actually define what the fuck you're talking about.
All right, so you don't know the Hurt Locker?
Movie piracy.
Movie piracy in general. I'm pretty sure I know kind of what you're talking about. There was a movie called Hurt Locker.
Hurt Locker.
And a bunch of people downloaded
like any movie
illegally via torrents. And then somehow they got the names for a large amount of users.
Essentially, if you download...
they're suing them.
Yeah, if you download, there's really peer blocking, all that stuff. Like, if you download, just accept that somebody can find your name. Like, that's the fact of it. And then, so this firm essentially, caught up with indie filmmakers, and they've been suing people. And they sued the Hurt Locker, and they got a bunch of bad press, because what they were doing was essentially illegal. They were, doing mass... mass suing loads of people, not individually, because they didn't want to do the paperwork, and what they did was not correct, and eventually went away, and now it's back. So I'm just curious as to, there was a huge backlash against Hurt Locker because of this, and what are your general thoughts on piracy, Logan?
For everybody out there, you might want to fast forward, because this is going to get really serious.
No, this is good.
This is not going to be filled
with... There's some interesting thoughts.
This is probably not going to be filled with yucks.
We're not going to be talking about chocolate dicks here.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about... we might talk about chocolate dicks
here. Yeah. To go from the heady highs of chocolate members to the intellectual discussion.
To the minutiae of intellectual property.
That's what they come here for, Logan. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, so, okay... The big thing here is what will consumers do realistically?
Yeah.
To be fair, you can sue a few people, but when it comes down to it, the consumer is going to make a decision. And if the consumer can get something for free versus getting it paid, they're going to get it for free. The thing is, money is not the only issue here. It turns into effort. There's an opportunity cost associated with all of this, right? So, for instance, downloading Photoshop illegally, which maybe somebody's done in this room. I don't know. Maybe we all paid for it. I don't know. But Adobe has made it rather difficult to pirate Photoshop. You don't just download and install it. You have to enter. You use
that true? I wouldn't know. Logan, is it difficult to?
Well, I don't know. This is just through other people I hear.
Yeah.
If you work at Adobe, I could use the Photoshop though. So you download it. And it's not just a serial number. If you need a serial number, you probably need to get a serial number generator.
Yeah.
But now there's all this stuff about checking your IP and uploading to your
database. Registered and
pretty much any
online
software program requires a few steps in order to actually pirate it.
And so what they're really trying to do, it's realistically it's kind of being tortured, right?
They're just preventing.
What the real question is. Are we making it difficult enough to prevent the vast majority of people?
Yeah, it's the same thing. If you want to prevent someone from breaking into your house, how do you do it? You don't need the world's best lock. You need a lock, and you make your house look like it's less inviting than your neighbor's house.
Exactly. You don't have to be faster than the bear. You just got to be faster than the slowest.
You're getting to the actual point, which is kind of getting into economics in general, which is that is the case. Is that they're stopping people who would download it out of sheer convenience. And that's the majority of people. They're like, okay, I'll go download Photoshop because it's easier than going to... It could literally be pure convenience. You have all the money in the world and people will still pirate because...
The time it takes to do something has a cost.
Yeah, I will say this. I bought software and then pirated it because I'm like, well, I bought it and it's coming in the mail, but I need to use it right now.
If we're going to go to that, there's times that what you buy... Here's the other thing. You can buy things and the pirated version will actually be
better.
Superior. It's generally movies, which is the case where... This is what the film industry and people in general have to accept, is that you're constantly in competition, and right now, your competition, the price of actual content, in my mind, the price of real video content is free. So you're in a world where price is based off of, the market. And right now, there is, including somebody in this room, who make YouTube videos, who there's content online that not a single person can go without content and have to pay for it. You can get all the content you want, and now getting to the point where it's the same quality.
But there is a price associated with it. You think it's free, but you're paying in being exposed to ads or in Netflix.
That's exactly what they have to get to. Yeah. You don't actually have to pay money.
But you're paying something. The big thing when you're making these arguments there's something more than money at stake. So there's always going to be other currencies involved.
Well, that's the thing, is that those businesses have to figure out how to create new models to make money in those methods. And the problem is, when the average person can take 5 minutes to download a movie, and that file they get can play on their PS3, their iPad, their computer, into their DVD player, and do all that instantly, so it's easier to use. Then it's like, why would you possibly go buy a $20 DVD? Which, by the way, just put out, I have like 3,000 DVDs.
Well,
so I do buy a lot of DVDs.
In the case of the Hurt Locker specifically, I think it was also the fact that it hadn't even been distributed on DVD yet when people were doing most of the piracy. It was right around the Oscars. It also didn't even have a very wide theatrical distribution. So the only way that people could even see this movie at all was to pirate it illegally.
We're giving it a general, like, cool, like, be a cool cookie sort of thing or whatever. Is that the friggin' cool cookie? That's the phrase. That's the people talking. It's cool customer. I was thinking of cookie. Cool customer. Is
Hurt Locker had second language? Yeah.
Can we just talk about what is a cool cookie?
are we talking about like an ice cream sandwich?
Because normally I think cookies you want them to be warm and hot out of the oven.
Because then the chocolate's a little melty.
I was flat out thinking cool customer, and cookie probably came from people don't know, but we've been writing something, and I had this incredibly long dialogue where a man did a bunch of cookie puns, and it was shitty.
I get a yard of shit for bringing up the Social Network director's commentary.
Yeah,
talking about cool cookies.
So Matt actually hinted at writing something revolving cookie.
No, this is not my game.
Huh?
It's not my game.
I know, it's those commercials you're doing for D.D. Reese, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Shit. Dude, Logan, that's NDA stuff. Friend-DA, I trusted you.
Freddie's making a bunch of Mrs. Fields cookie spots.
Oh, man. Come on, your local
networks. It's premiered here on the podcast first.
That's why I was writing cookie puns.
Yeah, to be fair, they are giving us a lifetime supply.
Yeah, this isn't selling out. We buy those cookies.
Did I ever tell you guys my idea for Mutt Puns?
What are we even talking about?
Mutt Puns. The idea is that you get a collection of cards.
Right, mutt as in dog.
Yes.
Oh, God.
And it's cards that are either the back half or the front half of a dog, a breed of dog.
Okay.
And then you just combine them so you can get like, you know, like a bullshit or something. And it's called Mutt Puns.
Okay, wait. Logan, give me more than four interesting combinations.
Give me 8 different breeds of dogs.
You haven't done your work on this. You just saw this without even going into any sort of design.
There's golden retriever. Go.
Golden retriever. What's another dog? A wiener
bulldog.
Dog. Golden wiener. There we go.
That's one.
Golden wiener. Bullshit. That was two. But give me some other dogs.
Which, by the way, doesn't make sense because Shih Tzu, shit is the first part, and bulldog, bull is the first part. So that's two fronts of the dog.
Shit.
Terrier.
So you know, follow your own rules.
A terrier.
Terrier and
bulldog. Terror dog.
I would call it the bullish terror.
So these cards have like various. It's general.
It's the worst game ever conceived.
I just really like the name.
Let's like incept and go up a level to like cookies or back to even piracy.
Talk about pirating cookies.
Pirating
possible
cookies.
Digitally
possible.
Hey guys, do you think in the future we'll have printers that print food?
That's a total nanotech thing that people talk about.
The Diamond Age, if you will.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you guys all read the Diamond
Earl
Age?
Earl Grey, hot.
No, I've not.
Oh, you got to read the Diamond Age.
Read the Diamond Age?
What is the Diamond Age?
Quiet, let's hear if we can hear their response, the collective response in the future. No, I can't hear
nothing.
No, Diamond Age is a sci-fi book by Neal Stephens, and he did Snow Crash, and it talks very much about like a future where you have nanotechnology. And one of the things in it is that everybody has assemblers basically in their living rooms, so you can order like utilitarian things, like you can get food and water, and it'll assemble it, you know, through, you know, one molecule at a time on an atomic level. So everyone's fed, right? But you know, you get really nice food, obviously you have to pay for, but there's sort of the basics are provided for it. So there's like a scene where a character needs a mattress, you know, so she uses the assembler to create a mattress and stuff. So the idea is that, you know,
that's an interesting scene.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
She needed a mattress.
There was a lot of,
so let's break this down. Film wise, the goal was to get a mattress. The obstacle was pressing a button, and she pressed a button and she got one.
I'm pretty sure somebody actually has the rights to this movie. It's actually being made right now.
That's the climax, or the third act. Kind of turning point.
It was
point
an incidental
there.
Use of technology, jackass.
Okay, that's why we checked, because he said it was a seed.
Fuck you. Anyways.
I hope so. That'd be cool.
Diamond Age is actually a really good book, and it's really fun because everybody's into cyberpunk. Well, I guess they're into steampunk now, but if you're into steampunk, just stop listening to this podcast and kill yourself.
Because we're going
to
offend you
but
more.
If you're into cyberpunk, then I guess travel back in time and go back to when it was cool in 1995. But Neal Stephenson was a really famous cyberpunk author, and cyberpunk is...
Still is famous.
Still is. Yeah. I mean, he's moved away from that.
Arguably.
Yeah,
and Diamond Age actually signals a move away. In fact, it opens with a cyberpunk character.
Wait, did he marry Angelina Jolie? Is he that famous? Because
Neil, Neil Stephenson went to
never mind, sorry.
Neil Stephenson's daughter went to my high school.
Oh, really? Look at you, Mr. Starfucker.
Yeah. Whoa.
Actually, I should not
she
that.
Went after I was there.
Actually, this is kind of important because me and Logan definitely do get a little bit more drunk as we go on. And the problem is that you can count how many beers we're having as two, but we're not drinking Budweiser. Like, we're drinking
some serious mayonnaise.
Yeah, it's like seven.
I thought you were going to talk about.
I just want to make sure because not that I care about like I was never much of a drinker at college. I don't want to brag about being a lightweight or not. But I'm just saying it's not like we're having two Budweiser.
I only consume the most artisan of brews.
Logan does not drink two Budweisers and starts getting out of control. These are
we just out of control.
Yeah, in case it wasn't blindingly obvious, me and Freddie are stone cold sober.
Yeah,
as usual,
drunk assholes.
And I like how you guys are literally shoulder to shoulder over there.
I know
one microphone.
It's almost like sober Siamese twins.
I want to take a picture of this.
Joys in your cardigans over there, in your glasses.
Both those are true, by the way. Me and Logan are both on our individual chairs. I have my sleeping cat next to me. I'm spread out, just relaxing, and Logan is rocking back and forth in a furry blanket.
Fur-coated recliner. So it's two chunky dudes, like, chugging man beers.
And these two dudes are leaning forward, both sharing a mic, and wearing sweaters.
And they're literally reading, like, Noam Chomsky books as we're doing this podcast.
And sipping wine.
We're multitasking.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
I don't know where we were.
We were still talking about dills, but maybe not.
You were talking about piracy.
This conversation.
Right? I was always assuming we're talking about.
We're on the Diamond Age.
And the issue with Hurt Locker and
my favorite thing about the piracy is, you remember those ads that were like that
we
ran
would
before
steal
movies?
A car.
No, not those.
We actually met somebody who works on those.
And really? He would steal a car, by the way, if it was free and you could download it. That's the part of that commercial. You would instantly.
I almost did today. I drove past this car that was idling, and I was like, I could totally steal it.
Would you steal a car? I was like, well, hold on, is it free and does nobody actually get hurt from this action?
Yeah, is there one in 100,000 chance of getting robbed? Of course you would say, like,
could I duplicate this car at no price to
anybody? Exactly. That's
like,
the problem with commercials.
Yes, I would. I would steal the hell out of it.
The issue has always been conflating theft with copyright infringement.
So here's my favorite set of ads was the one with the stunt guy and talking about how, like, all the craftsmanship that went into a movie. And it's like, when you steal a movie, you're hurting us, the stunt people. It's like, dude, You got paid for the movie. You're not seeing a percentage of that movie. You got paid as a guy who just did a car flip. And he's like, this is hurting us. It's like, it's not hurting you at all.
So let's talk about this.
It's not even about advocating.
In the future, what will this look like?
Advertising is the big thing, and I think
I disagree.
I disagree too, because everybody thought that Napster was just going to completely destroy the record industry. But as soon as Apple had the foresight to come in and say, look, if we have a means to legitimately distribute music via iTunes, we think people will pay for
it. Did you see, by the way, Frank Zappa's
That doesn't negate advertising. Awesome.
Frank Zappa, I read it, but
I was kind of confused because I was...
No, what do you say?
Frank Zappa was like, he wrote this thing, and it was like, listen, people... They keep recording our music off the radio onto tapes. We need some sort of system, like either through the telephone lines or cable lines, to go to users' homes where they can get songs and they can put them straight into their tape recorders. Like, he's literally like describing here. Awesome. Like, it was incredible. It's incredible.
That's awesome. So actually, I'm curious about
Frank.
No, what about advertising,
awesome,
Logan? Because people follow, like, a lot of advertising is being called the 21st century art form, and what is essentially going to craft, arguably, they talked about what defines culture, and it was originally, it used to be religion. And then it was like technology was going forward. And now there's a lot of people who would argue that advertising and the ability to communicate with people and influence behavior is the single most important influencer in all of culture.
Well, I think
it's Twitter.
I think it is advertising.
I actually don't think so. When people don't know how to monetize something, they just go like, well, let's advertising.
I agree with that.
And that's the majority of 2016.
It's like the knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah. And I'd actually argue we're going to move back to a pre-20th century, like, commissioned artworks form, where people are like, what about the music industry? It's like, well, the music industry is going to die. Like, straight up, it just will. And, like, there won't be any rock stars anymore. We'll go back to, like, bards. It just won't be a big money thing anymore.
Well, I agree with that. I agree with that idea for various things.
Like, some industries rise, like, and some fall.
But,
like,
that's not mutually exclusive to advertising.
The typewriter industry died.
No, it happens. I think you're going to still have the rock star sort of thing, though.
I think you'll have the rock
celebrity
star, but I don't think you'll have the rock
star.
It'll be like
movies. Let's get to where movies now.
No, that's the case. I think you'll still have the celebrity and you'll still have the sort of well-knownness, but
you won't have millions of dollars being dropped into, like, a Britney Spears music video. Like, that's not happening.
Well, for a few, they'll be the elite. They'll be just like even Bards. There was.
I really think Kickstarter is sort of symbolic of where like arts and entertainment are going. Mm. Like the idea of users funding things and paying what they want. I actually bought it. I bought a whole CD today for $3 because that's what I felt like paying. It was worth 50 cents.
What was that CD?
It was like chiptunes, but they're all boring.
Yeah. Chiptunes suck.
To be fair, listen, Animaniguchi is pretty cool. So, Freddie mentioned them so we can all be their friends.
I love those people.
They're so cool.
So what was that? Anyways, going back to that. What was that?
And they're all so young, too. They're all like 19 years old.
Chiptunes suck.
Wait, you don't even like Animaniguchi?
Don't say chiptunes suck.
I'll make an exception for... For who?
How about you? Don't even know who they are.
I have no idea who they are.
Okay, listen.
Do you play Bit Trip series?
Yeah, I did.
Because while we're mentioning chiptunes, I just want to mention those guys and that music in case they want to be my friends. Also,
that's actually
this is not a place for us to just mention things and then hope that they'll
really?
Be our friends.
Let's actually talk about the Bit Trip video games. Go on, man. I'm actually going to grab another beer.
Metro video games. Okay. No, I was saying you're talking about the Kickstarter. There's a book called The Long Tail.
Huh? Yeah, I'm driving Logan's home tonight.
Yeah.
Definitely. Oh gosh. How'd you get roped into that, David?
I have to do work.
David, how'd you get roped into that?
Well, he drove here and now he's like 3 or 4 beers deep.
He promised David he could be on the podcast.
It would not be the first time.
He promised him.
Wouldn't be the first time Logan's broken the promise. I will say, as far as just sort of Logan and my history together, this is a story that I like to bring up when people are like, well, how well do you know Logan?
It should be known that that phrase known me for like half a decade at this point.
I remember once we were
for those who don't know.
I remember we were once, yeah, a decade is a span of time, which is for those of you who don't know how long a decade is. Logan and I were at a Target with his former girlfriend at the time, who like a long-term girlfriend. And
Reason, at the time, was she a former girlfriend or was she the girlfriend?
This was my girlfriend for years.
Okay, so at this time, it was your girlfriend.
She was my girlfriend for like 4 years at this point, and Freddie's known me for like 2 years.
At that time, yeah. Uh-huh. And so I don't know how we got into it, but it was basically like Logan's like, let's see who knows me better. I'll just put a question out and who answers it correctly and we'll tabulate points. I kicked his girlfriend's ass.
That is actually a plot of every single season 3 sitcom in the history of mankind. Anything that involves a couple, at some point the writer's like, oh shit. Okay, so episode 20, season 3, what do you mean? Well, they play a couple's game, and the two best friends know each other better than the couple. Okay, that's hilarious, that writes itself. It usually does, to be fair. It's hilarious every time.
To be fair, it's usually very charming.
I lived a sitcom.
Yeah, he lived a sitcom. I think Cougar Town just pulled that out, which I love, by the way, that show. Season 2.
Cougar Town, friend us.
Yeah, Cougar Town, friend us. No, that's more embarrassing. I think most people, if I say I like Cougar Town, they're going to be like, dude, okay, we've actually lost half of our views.
Cougar Town.
Cougar Town is a show by Bill Lawrence who did Scrubs, one of my favorites. And it started off
Scrubs.
I think Scrubs is
you hate
bitches.
Scrubs.
Yeah, I'm with Freddie and Logan on this.
Okay, so Scrubs.
Here's my problem with Scrubs. Scrubs. Every single joke, it just the whole thing feels like a guy going like, huh? Isn't this funny?
Really quickly, everybody. Next
unless
time,
you're
wait,
Abel.
Wait.
Hey, Abel. How's
so
it going?
Somebody
man? I
watch
like Scrubs.
People pick up Scrubs. Pick up Scrubs and watch Zach Braff, and then go watch Freddie act in one of his movies, and tell me how similar their sense of humor is.
What you really mean is Zach Braff's a nerd and so is Freddy.
Yes, and they both have this kind of like wink wink, which is funny because I love Scrubs.
I don't wink wink. What are you talking about?
Freddy's so in my room right now, in my room on my bed, there are two seasons of Scrubs because I watch Scrubs every night before I go to bed. I put it on.
Keep it in your bed.
And I put it on and I love it. I love Scrubs. And Bill Lawrence did Scrubs and he did a show called Cougar Town with Courtney Cox that started off pretty lame and then it became awesome. That's all you need
to
say.
You guys know what Courtney Cox's first movie was?
No.
Hint, one of my favorites.
Gator.
Is it Roadhouse?
Masters of the Universe.
Logan has no idea like how to use the microphone. He's always like blowing into it. And it's like, it's just your track. I can hear it. It's just like the dirtiest track. Occasionally, you go up and then you do a really close reading of something.
Masters of the Universe.
If you want to give me one of those blow foam things, whatever the fuck's on.
Well, the difference is the problem is I can't. Now forget. This is boring.
So Jonathan Blow.
Let's talk about sound.
Well, how long are we into this, by the way?
Because we're just about an hour.
Okay, so I want to. So since Logan here, he may know about this. You know, Jonathan Blow, kind of not that big of a story, but he called social games evil flat out evil.
This, Zynga, this is the creator of Braid.
Oh yeah, so this is actually nerd. Jonathan Blow is the creator of Braid, which I love.
Word on the street is Jonathan Blow's kind of an asshole, or should I say, blowhard.
Okay, have you ever? Oh my god, have you ever heard of an artist where you haven't heard the dude who says he's an asshole?
I'm sorry, Jonathan Blow. I didn't mean to blowball you.
Terrible.
I'd like to think that of all the people that we've name dropped tonight, Jonathan Blow is the only one that's actually the same of the podcast.
Hey.
There's now officially two conversations going on between me and Logan and these two. So I never talked
blow. That's supposed to be like low blow, but with a B on the
low
front.
Low blow. That's so a low blow, Jonathan Blow to Zynga. No, I'm curious because I've never talked about it.
Did you guys know tomorrow's a holiday, by the way?
It's President's Day.
We don't have holidays when you work at home. I've been working all day today.
Usually I don't have holidays unless you have sweet dates when most people are
working.
Oh, shit. That's a date.
Who has a date, Logan?
David does.
What's your date?
David, tell us your favorite date.
What is the best first date you've ever had?
Let's not even talk about first date.
No.
What's the best date you've ever had? We're switching over into date night mode.
Screw Jonathan Blow and social. I literally just threw my pad backwards.
Date night mode.
I thought this was a terrible idea, but I took a girl for the first date, mind you, to the Body Worlds exhibit.
Oh my god.
Really bad.
No, that's good. No, there's a lot of bodies.
It
was definitely. It was like a litmus test to see, like,
for those who don't know, Body Worlds is
any cool.
Actually, this is important. Body Worlds is actually an exhibit where they have taken dead bodies.
In the Bond movie.
I was about to say it's the one in the Bond movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Which one?
The one.
Kong
Solid. Doesn't look like he's Bond.
Casino Royale.
Okay.
It's the Miami thing where it's like it's the bodies and they're split
up. Fine. Screw it. From now on, instead of explaining things, if you don't know it, pause this podcast, go to Google, search Body Worlds now.
What's really cool? So let's talk about Body Worlds really quick.
I want to hear this date.
But I just think it's really cool. Do you guys know how they actually create those bodies in Body Worlds? Like, so it's basically just like unskinned humans.
Yeah.
To varying degrees. Like sometimes they peel back the muscles, sometimes they reveal the intestines. Do you guys know how they do that?
No. I'm assuming
they're plastification.
You know who was supposed to be plastified? Who wasn't?
Michael Jackson.
That's right. Good job. Nice. You know who he plastified?
Who he plastified?
Yeah, who Michael Jackson requested to be plastified?
The Elephant Man.
His monkey.
That's right.
Wait, he had a monkey?
Bubbles.
Straight up, like Bubbles, Mulholland Drive?
If you live in Los Angeles, if you go to the LACMA, the Los Angeles County Museum of Art, or whatever it may be, there's actually a really sweet ceramic statue of Michael Jackson hanging out with his monkey.
That sounds pretty sweet.
And it's right next to a giant, giant balloon animal.
That sounds way cooler.
Yeah.
What type of animal?
Yeah, this is a much better date location.
It's like a dog.
This is a classic wiener dog.
Yeah, I took Brian there. Brian for 5 seconds.
Is it an actual balloon or is it just a statue?
No, somebody made some sort of chrome statue that looks just like a balloon all the way down to like the wrinkled tip. You know, like the weird little balloon foreskin that occurs.
Yeah, I know the wrinkles.
Yeah, that looks super realistic too.
Yeah,
I tried to blow into it, and I was like, "Oh my god, it's chrome!"
I knew somehow we'd get back to the chocolate dicks.
Yeah.
David, let's hear the rest of the.
How did we get to this?
We said best date, not the worst first date. This was your best date.
I don't even know how we got the worst first date. We're not talking about worst first date.
It went pretty well. I think the...
How well?
The only awkward thing...
I don't give a
not
shit how
that well.
I want you to tell me what you did.
Well,
silence, by the way. It's quiet.
It went terribly.
He really wishes he had driven Logan.
Okay. I think you just feel some kind of guilt as soon as you realize that you're trying to make like cute, witty observations as you're going through this experience.
It's like, oh, look at that ballerina.
And then you realize that these are all like literal dead cadavers.
But we all die someday, David.
You know, observations. Like, you just feel like a vulture.
Isn't that hilarious? Look at that guy. He died of cancer and donated his body to this. It's like, oh, okay. Oh, all right. Let's check out the gift shop.
It should be noted that David's an atheist.
But he's Jewish.
Moments after revealing that I am Jewish, I live a very complicated life, as you can tell.
Very conflicted.
This shit got serious, man.
Matt, what was your best first date?
I'm not gonna talk about it, but so people know, I am a bit of a loser.
Let's switch this. Matt, what's your best day ever? I want to hear best day.
My best day ever. I'm going to say
my
best day ever.
Not like your ideal day. I want to hear like what was the day that you look back and you're like, holy shit, this day kicked ass. All you out there, I want you to think about it and live it.
Live it.
little bit of Logan motivational speaking.
I don't know. Right, I honestly do not know.
Whole podcast where it's just you trying to motivate people.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, listen.
Motivational.
You know, Marines, when they don't say yes or no, they actually just say motivate. A little fact there. If you're Marine and you disagree with that, fuck you.
Oh, no. Logan. No. Logan.
Matt, best day ever.
Best day ever. I honestly...
Motivate.
I have to think. Motivate.
Motivate.
Motivate. Motivate. I honestly don't know. I'm just going to... Since I know my girlfriend listens to these podcasts, it was definitely the day that I got with my girlfriend.
Which was?
Logan. Logan. What was, wait, so more interesting, her? Logan, I met her at Anime
how
Club.
Did you meet her?
At Anime
at
Club.
Anime Club.
You met her at the club?
I met her at the club.
At the
Logan
AC?
Was there. At Anime Club.
I was there. I was, you know, I was...
We call the club. In the industry, we call the Anime Club the club.
Wait, Logan, you were there too?
No, he was not. I never met Logan until recently.
I don't watch anime anymore.
Yeah.
In public. Fuck that shit. It's a secret. It's Logan.
Who watches anime in public? Like, you go out to the park.
I go to the mall, like, pop over my MacBook, and just watch
anime. My MacBook, just get my Yu-Gi-Oh on.
Logan, what was your best first day?
First day?
I guess it'd be my only one.
The first day was pretty high up there.
I saw everything upside down. And
that was a combination of best first date and best day. So what was your best day, Logan?
My best day, actually, this came up recently. My best day actually was, it was 2008. And I woke up, I saw the Stan Lee comic book exhibition at a gallery, an art gallery. And then I changed my headlights for the first time. Freddie showed me how, actually.
Oh, that day.
Yeah, that day. Yeah. I changed my headlights, and it worked. Couldn't believe it. And then I went to a monster truck rally, and it was fucking baller. After the monster truck rally, as I was driving home, I saw the fireworks blowing up over Disneyland. And I remember just thinking, this day kicks ass. And that's my best.
So go live that, Logan.
We missed Monster Jam this year, by the way.
Yeah. Somebody invited me to come on Saturday.
I was really bummed out that we missed it.
Don't be that bummed out.
It's like, monster
it,
trucks.
It comes every year, though.
What's the thing about monster trucks?
It comes twice
you're
a year.
You're watching it, and you're just like, this is okay. This is okay. And then, like, a guy will walk onto the track next to the thing, like, oh, my God, those things are huge.
What's really cool about monster trucks is this. It's more or less WWF with trucks. Like, but the difference is people get old. Like, Hulk Hogan had to retire.
Yeah, but trucks don't.
Trucks get new engines and new drivers, and they move on. So Gravedigger's been going
Do they actually name the trucks?
Gravedigger! There's also, like, they introduce new ones. Like, there's an Iron Man truck. At least last year there was. He literally was like, it was like a truck themed after Iron Man, like the armor.
It's
pretty cool. But Gravedigger always wins, hands down. That's a timeless classic.
I feel like it because I've heard that name before, so I'm just assuming.
Everybody out there should go to Monster Jam at least once. It's one of those things that...
Next time you guys go, I'll go.
It's interesting because most people, at least now, they go to Monster Jam, ironically. They'd be like, let's act like we're white trash and go to Monster Jam.
It's a hipster thing, though.
Irony?
Not cool.
Doesn't matter. You take the Monster Jam and within 20 minutes. You're into it. You're like, man, there's nothing ironic about this.
That was our experience with Speed Racer, by the way. We were excited to watch. And I kind of want to bring
this up. I don't think anybody was going into it ironically.
Like, Monster Jam or
Speed Racer people? Oh, when we went, it was like, oh, this should be interesting. I don't think any of us were that pumped. And when we were pumped, it was like, this looks so stupid. It should be hilarious. And by the way, our love of Speed Racer is not ironic. Freddie, how much do you actually love Speed Racer?
I've seen Speed Racer, I think, 12 times now.
Yeah.
It's like on a scale of 1 to 10, where is it? On a scale of 1 to 10.
It's like... number 3.
Where's Crank?
Crank is
it's lower than Speed Racer though. Okay, even if it's not,
that's tough. They're really close.
Did any moment of Crank? See, I still get chills at the end of Speed Racer.
That's true. Speed Racer is an emotional roller coaster.
I get chills watching Crank.
I get, yeah. All right.
Hard Boiled, Crank, Baraka, which is like a non-narrative.
Yeah, sometimes we do those three movies at once.
That's a really good spread, by the way. It's important. I'm gonna give some life lessons out now.
Right, you need a good spread.
It's really good to have a good spread of interest.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to be all packed in one facet. Like you don't want to be all video game shit or all movie shit. The goal is to get so broad that no matter who you meet, you can talk to them about 1,000 different things.
You should be able to hold conversation with any person in the world for an hour minimum.
You should be able to love Michael Bay, watch Kurosawa, check out Baraka.
You know what the best way to hold a conversation for an hour is?
Ask them constantly questions.
Just dig. Just dig until they tell you about the mother.
That's pretty much what you did last week.
I always dig.
Yeah, you always dig.
I'm a professional digger.
Logan, you've never digged into me before. We're going to do it
Do you want to dig right now?
Not right now. All right, the podcast is running long.
I think we'll do that next week. How about that?
A Matt dig?
Matt dig.
That's weird. We're going to go Matt mining.
I'm going to try to avoid this. I'm going to be like sending Logan like notes. It's like, so this podcast, we're going to talk about this and Matt. And he's just going to send it back and he'll just say Matt.
Whatever happened to Adam.
It's just going
to
be Matt.
Whatever happened to Adam last week is going to be Matt next week.
I don't have any cool LARPing story. I actually have a pretty dull life.
I'm going to try to make you weep next week. Is that okay?
I'm getting a little nervous.
Just throw on the last 10 minutes of Speed Racer.
Hey, really quickly, did we, because a lot of this is going to get cut out.
No.
Is there any talking points that we missed?
No, this is getting
talked.
I actually did throw the notepad, so I don't have it.
What about 3D television?
Oh, 3D TV.
We'll talk about Matt's 3D TV and Matt himself next week, so you guys have that to look forward to. So
I feel like this podcast was dull. I'm sorry.
Yeah, guys. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know if it was or wasn't.
I think we were just really mellow.
Let us know. Let us know what you felt about this podcast. Because our last one was like 4 hours long and with somebody else.
It was also really mellow.
Shit.
But it was just like a British man talking about LARPing stories.
So we had like 2 hours of that and mellow. And then we had mellow. We probably lost. We're going to lose like half.
We lost everybody.
We lost everybody.
That's all right. We're going to broadcast.
It was just good.
Can you see when people leave this podcast?
Yeah, we can see all the stats. No, not when they leave.
You can see how many people have downloaded, but you don't see like people physically getting disgusted.
We know your name. Your age.
We're actually accessing your credit card information right now.
Right. All not true. But next week we'll get into Matt and his
Freddy's lie.
This is a new tactic we're trying. I'm trying to tell you what happens next week, so hopefully you'll listen.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So next week we'll dig into Matt.
Now nobody listens.
We'll learn about all his issues. Well,
and 3D TVs
as added incentive, and other cool it'll be stuff. Logan digging into Matt.
Logan, the world's.
I'm gonna try to dig into Logan because actually I know Logan, but I don't know him that well.
Okay, great. Well,
there's a lot of mysteries with me.
Yeah, we're friends, but we don't really know each other that well.
It's so amazing how in conversations you assume you know the other person, and then if you actually just stop and go like.
Looking at you, pretty much the only thing I know is everything from his podcast, things Freddie has told me, and then just our casual conversations. And I think you know even less about me.
Yeah.
This will be interesting. Anyway, until next week. Until
Freddie's like, this is interesting.
It's boring as hell.
Sorry,
everybody.
Tell us if it's boring.
Yeah, well, until next week, this is Freddie signing off.
Send us your requests.
This is Matt signing off.
This is Logan signing off. David, I guess.